Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. All this week on the show, we're looking back at the year in music. We've spent the past 2 days digging through the archives, listening to some of our favorite live performances from the Soundcheck studio in 2012. If you missed it, that part of our year-end coverage is online. You can download or stream our two-part live performance special on soundcheck.org. But now it's time to focus on something else that we did online, our 2012 music survey. Rather than have you create a top 10 list, I mean, after all, anyone can do that, we're asking critics and you, our listeners, to weigh in on 8 categories. Favorite album, favorite song, no surprises there, but also favorite new artist or band. And then the questions get a little more interesting. Biggest musical surprise of the year, biggest musical disappointment, most memorable concert. And then we ask, what's a musical trend you noticed this year? And finally, a chance to vent some spleen. Worst music you heard in 2012, album, song, or whatever. So later this week, we're going to hear from some of our favorite music critics and from our listeners. But today, we're going to get answers to these survey questions from 3 members of the Soundcheck bullpen, the regular gang of contributors that we welcomed to the show starting in September when we debuted in our new evening time slot. You'll hear from hip-hop journalist Soumya Krishnamurthy and from Ann Litt of public radio station KCRW in L.A. But first up, Joe Levy, the editor of Billboard magazine. Joe, welcome back.
Good to be here.
So, 2012, big year. Can you sum it up for us in 2 words?
2 words. Wow. I'm not usually that true. I think I can do it. Frank Ocean. They must don't care. A million, 1 million, 2. 100 more will never do. Many bottles of this wine we can't pronounce. Too many bowls of that green, no Lucky Charms. The maids come around too much. Parents ain't around enough. Too many joy rides in daddy's Jaguar. Too many white lies and white lines. Super rich kids with nothing but loose ends. Super rich kids with nothing but fake friends. Real love. I'm searching for a real love. Frank Ocean from the album called Channel Orange. So, Joe, our first question on the survey, favorite album of the year? This does it for you? Yeah, somewhat surprisingly, because there were records that I liked more when I first heard them. You know, the Pink record, which is a great pop record, the Fiona Apple record, which is a great arty record, even the Twin Shadow record, which is my nostalgia record of the year because it's such an 80s synth pop record. And then there are other records that I played more. The Leonard Cohen record was a record I played a lot, just for fun. The Sword record was a record I played because it's a metal record I don't use. But this record, this one, it made me keep coming back to it. It became a very demanding record. It's not one I understood right away. It's not one I heard right away. It's a record that demanded to be heard as an album, at least for me. It didn't really work on shuffle play. It didn't work in the background. I had to concentrate on it. And then once I did, I loved it.
Well, he's topping a lot of year-end lists. He got 6 Grammy nominations. Could be up for a very big night come Grammy night in February. But it was also a big year for him as a kind of figure in pop culture, wasn't it? So remind us of the story here.
Well, the story is on the eve of the release of this record, Frank Ocean posted the liner notes from the record to his Tumblr. And the liner notes are about an unrequited love affair with a man. A lot of people treated it as though he was coming out. But what he clearly said was that his sexuality was something different
He didn't say it was one thing or another. And there are love songs and unrequited love songs on this record that could be about men or women. But it's part of what created the context for this record. And what interests me about this record is that it really does create its own context, musically, emotionally, and then socially, because Frank Ocean's Tumblr announcement was hailed in hip-hop circles as something brave that people got behind. People like Beyonce, who he had worked with, people like the Odd Future crew, the hip-hop crew out of L.A. that he's part of. And this is a change in hip-hop, which is not traditionally open to anything but straight masculinity.
Right. Now, he has been a little bit of a divisive figure as well. You know, some of our listeners have been filling out these music surveys. Issa from Brooklyn, answering the question, what was the worst music of 2012, said, Frank Ocean. Too overblown, distracts from other talents in the business. I hated how he used his sexuality as a PR stunt to gain more sales for his album. Amin, who listens to us in Tehran, in Iran, used Frank Ocean as the answer to yet another question. Biggest musical surprise of 2012. Amin writes, I've noticed some R&B artists in the past year, and I thought, maybe I can find an album that topped my expectations, but when I saw a 9.5 Pitchfork rating for this album, it blew my mind. Pitchfork on a scale of 0 to 10, you hardly, I mean, Kanye West famously got a 10 for, you know, like a year or so ago. 9.5, also kind of a real unheard of
a lofty
rating.
Grade,
yes,
although this got lofty reviews from virtually everyone, lofty grades from those who give out grades. It's topping many best of lists. It's sort of a given as the album of the year. And I almost wanted to pick something else just because I thought, let's be a little different. But
Now, Joe Levy, editor of Billboard magazine, part of our Soundcheck bullpen, regular contributors. You can see all of his answers to our end-of-the-year survey on our website, soundcheck.org. And you did come up with some surprises. I mean, favorite album? Yeah. All right. So Frank Ocean is getting a lot of love from a lot of people in a lot of places. When we come to favorite song, Childish Gambino.
I just went with one that I loved from the moment that I heard it, and I kept returning to it, and it kept surprising me. Part of what I liked about this is that it came out of nowhere. It just turned up online one day, which, of course, is one of the stories of this year and the last few years. And the Frank Ocean album, of course, touches on the social media events of the year as well with his Tumblr post. But Childish Gambino, one day he put up a link on his Twitter to a song. I downloaded it. I played it. You know, this is a guy who is a comedian, Donald Glover, and an actor.
He's
been taken to task by the hip-hop police for not being a real rapper, for being too funny, for indulging in punchline rap. And this is a song without many punchlines.
Yeah.
It's very honest. It's emotional. It's conversational. His family is one of his great topics. He talks about his brother. He talks about his mother and father, his great-grandfather who bought his own freedom and a peanut farm. But the context in which he talks about his mom and dad, it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
He's talking about this night where he's hanging out with Questlove and everybody's tipsy. And Quest says, wow, Whitney, can't we even make it past 50? And then he says, I sent a text message to my mom and dad.
Mm.
And it's just like, wow, because your mom and dad did make it past 50. It's just a beautiful moment.
It's Childish Gambino and the song We Ain't Them.
What you feel is real, and never let these white people tell you how to feel. Never let anybody tell you how to feel. I wanted what they had back in the fourth grade. Family vacays, you know I did it all. Just to see my little sis by a waterfall. My great-granddad bought his own freedom. Walked barefoot to Virginia to start his own peanut farm. So don't be alarmed, man, I'm royalty. Jam of the week, V103. No cosign, no bovine. More swag, pull back on the punchlines. Starving, every track means lunchtime.
That is Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover, and We Ain't Them. Just a short bit of it, because as wonderful as the story may be, it is full of language.
there's some profanity in there. That's true.
We're looking at the year in review and getting a lot of answers on Soundcheck for the rest of the week to our online music survey. Joe Levy, the editor of Billboard magazine. So we've done favorite album, favorite song, and both have already sort of led you to talk about the question of the musical trend that you noticed this year, which is social media, right?
Yeah, this is not a revelation. What's interesting that social media has become important in breaking bands, become important in the music industry. What's interesting to me is how many different kind of phenomenon, unrelated breakouts there were that came from social media. Frank Ocean is one. Psy is another.
Right, Gangnam Style. Yeah.
Yep. One Direction have a whole social media backstory. You know, their song wasn't on radio. They rallied the fans with social media. They became a touring act before they'd even put a record out. They were huge before they even got here. And then, of course, there's a minor event in 2012, Call Me Maybe.
Right.
You know, I mean, and these, Psy and Carly Rae Jepsen, these were defining songs, whether you liked them or not. Although I do, and I think a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. These were defining songs, both of them birthed on YouTube, circulated through Twitter. It's not as though broadcast media, radio and television, had nothing to do with their ubiquity or their rise, but it was the case that radio programmers and TV bookers were catching up with what mm-hmm. they were seeing on YouTube and Twitter.
So, I mean, the social media thing has been building for many years, obviously. Do you see 2012 as kind of a tipping point?
Particularly because I think what we saw was organic and engineered uses of it. One Direction, I mentioned, that's something that was engineered by Sony Records. And if they understand it now, well, this won't be the last time we see them using it. On the other hand, Psy, Carly Rae Jepsen, quasi-engineered. And Frank Ocean, a little more organic, despite one of your listeners saying that the sexuality seemed like
a calculated
PR stunt. I would say that this actually was something different and mm-hmm. brave.
So One Direction, an example of sort of an engineered social media phenomenon, and also your answer to our question, worst music of the year. For that very reason, perhaps?
No, and I think worst is a little bit of an exaggeration here.
Yeah.
I don't hate this. I really don't. In fact, there are songs of theirs that I understand. I just don't enjoy them. I uh-huh. get it. And I'm a poptimist by nature. Generally speaking, when it's at the top of the charts, I like to celebrate it. I want to get involved. I want to feel it. I want to take a little bit of a dip in that ocean. And every time I tried to get in, I was like, this feels a little cold. I can't really get in past the toes here. And it was tough to understand until we did a One Direction cover story. And one of the songwriters, who's a guy who was involved in the first single on the first record and the first single on the second record, Live While We're Young and What Makes You Beautiful, he basically said what we wanted to do was make very, very vanilla boy band guilty pleasure music. And they shared our vision. And I thought, oh, and I kind of don't.
Mission accomplished.
Hand fits in mine like it's made just for me. But bear this in mind, it was meant to be. And I'm joining up the dots with the freckles on your cheeks. And it all makes sense to me. I know you've never loved the crinkles by your eyes when you smile. You've never loved your stomach or your thighs, the dimples in your back at the bottom of your spine, but I'll love them endlessly. I won't let these little things slip out of my mouth, but if I do, it's you, oh, it's you they add up to.
The band One Direction and their song Little Things, and Joe Levy's answer to our question of the worst music he heard. I don't think that's too strong a word.
I just got to say the whole thing leaves me cold.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not like I get all mad at that song when I hear it, but boy, I don't like it that much.
No. All right, so let's go back to some of the more positive parts of our year-end music survey. We asked for your favorite newcomer, new artist, new band. And you picked?
I picked Death Grips, partly because I like the record a lot, Money Store, the record that they put out with Epic Records, but partly because the whole thing just amazed and amused me so much. Here's one of the strangest major label signings of all time, if not the very strangest. This is a group of anti-capitalist ravers. The Money Store is specifically, it's an anti-capitalist concept album, basically, that Epic Records signed and released? Mm-hmm. How odd. And then if you flash forward only a few months, the band is sticking to their announced plan. They, as far as they say, everyone knew, the record company knew, we make all of our work available on BitTorrent, including the next record we made for Epic Records.
Right.
Which, by the way, we were talking about language before. I caution you, if you download this record, try to get it with the safe for... I'd work the rest of your life cover, because there is some full frontal nudity on the cover of this album. They literally flipped their record company, The Bird.
Yeah. And, you know, when you say BitTorrent, of course, that means free, downloadable.
Everywhere. They put their very next record up online for free, and within weeks were dropped by Epic Records.
So this is the band Death Grips, and just a little bit of a song called Lil Boy.
Burn through it, burn through it. I'm not taking turns till it turns to it. You know we burn through it, burn through it. We ain't taking turns till it turns to it. Coughing up a sirens, I'm firing. Crocodile, lips off your smile. Quit that bitch, it looks suspicious. Who that's good and they got my dangers?
The Sacramento-based band called Death Grips and Lil Boy from Joe Levy's year-end music survey. You can answer the same 8 questions that Joe and all the rest of our cast this week are answering. The survey's on our website, soundcheck.org, and we'll be occasionally turning to some of our listeners for their answers to these same questions. Favorite newcomer for Joe was this band, Death Grips. They're on my year-end survey under a different answer, most memorable concert, because as interesting as their story is, Joe, I kind of felt like I wished I liked the music more until I saw them live.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. One of the most intense.
It's a take no prisoners show.
Absolutely. So anyway, that's Death Grips. How about the biggest disappointment, musical disappointment of 2012?
You know, what made my survey is just something I've been thinking about a lot because it happened recently or was announced recently, the breakup of Das Racist.
Yeah.
The rap trio who, for me, did so much to open up my mind. You know, a year or two ago, my iPod was not clogged with new hip-hop. And now it is. And part of the reason is the last few years of listening to their records and listening to other underground records that are self-released, but also just the way in which they opened up a kind of hip-hop discourse for smart, funny guys who are interested in their college courses. I mean, I hate to make it sound like less exciting than in fact it is when they're rhyming, but they'll keep doing it on their own. They've put out a bunch of solo mixtapes already. Mm-hmm. And yet that dream of a hermeneutically focused Run DMC, you know, something that I've wanted since I was listening to Run DMC and learning what the word hermeneutics meant, which was happening around the same time in
what
the
80s. What does it mean?
Oh, you know, let's just call it the study of knowledge.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is the song that first brought knowledge of Das Racist to our ears back in 2008.
Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, combination Pizza Hut and Taco
wait,
Bell.
Wait, I'm at the Pizza Hut.
What?
I'm at the Taco Bell.
What?
I'm at the combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. Wait a minute, I've got that taco smell, that pescado smell. I got a lot of smells. I rolled a lot of L's.
I'm at that Pizza Hut.
Okay.
I got that pizza gut.
Yeah.
I got that pizza butt.
No.
I'm at the Pizza Hut.
Nah.
And at the Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I'm at
Hut and Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Pizza Hut.
Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
Combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell was the first shot across the bow from Das Racist some years ago. And, Joe, they had a couple of years, but I kind of agree with you. I kind of feel like there was more to be said, you know, this kind of funny and much later very literate kind of rapping from...
Very literate, very much about identity in hip-hop, about racial identity, about class, about all these things that, frankly, people don't talk that much about.
Yeah.
And very, as you heard in that song, very funny dudes.
Yeah, yeah. From my old neighborhood in Queens. So that's Das Racist announcing that they're breaking up this year. And to the question, major disappointment in music this year, that was Joe Levy's answer. Biggest surprise?
Yeah, for me, it was that the Miguel album was actually better than that one great song.
Is that Adorn?
Adorn.
Yeah.
What a great song. How did I leave that out for favorite song of the year? Because, you know, I did want to pick something everybody else wasn't picking. What a great song. And I played the record, and at first I thought, it's a bit of a disappointment. Hmm. It's not as good as that track. And then this was one that did sneak up on me on shuffle play. Every once in a while, another song would come on, and I thought, I'll sit down and listen to the whole record. Some good songs on there.
Yeah. Not a surprise to our producer, Greta Cohn. It's her album of the year. You can check out all of our survey answers on our website, soundcheck.org. All right, so I mentioned, you know, with Death Grips, that was, you know, my answer for most memorable concert. Your answer for most memorable concert?
I just picked a small one that blew my mind. I saw Wussy and Low Cut Connie at the Mercury Lounge earlier this year.
You've mentioned Low Cut Connie on the show
before. Low Cut Connie I had seen several times before. Wussy I had never been to see before. This is a Cincinnati band led by, in part, by a guy named Chuck Cleaver, who used to be in a 90s indie rock band called the Ass Ponies. And in fact, they've been together for 10 years. They're playing a music that's really 10 years older than that. I know they're great songwriters. I just thought, I'm going to go see an indie rock band. They're going to play indie rock. I was unprepared for the level of guitar mysticism or showmanship. This was a really funny group.
Mm-hmm.
Dry Midwestern humor coming to the stage in New York. People who spent way too much time in a van together. They know how to play off each other, both when they're talking on stage and when they are playing guitar. It was just, it blew my mind.
I would hope with a name like Wussy that they would have a bit of a sense of humor.
Indeed.
So let's hear a little bit from the band's 2012 best of album, Buckeye. The song is Asteroids. Fun stuff, Asteroids, from the band Wussy out of Cincinnati. Joe Levy's most memorable concert experience of 2012. Joe is the editor of Billboard magazine and a regular on Soundcheck. All of his answers to our 2012 music survey, along with our answers and other listener answers, are on our website at soundcheck.org. Check it out. Fill out the survey yourself. You may find yourself part of our program later this week as we continue taking our look back at the year that was. Joe, you're the editor of Billboard. What are you looking ahead to in 2013?
Wow, 2013. Of course, the Cher album. I actually am kind of interested to
really?
See what she'll come up with. It should be intriguing. I want to see what happens next in this wave of indie hip-hop and R&B. That Frank Ocean and Miguel are part of.
Mm-hmm.
These are artists who I think really have played by their own rules. They've been embraced critically, but they've also made huge waves commercially. And it feels like things are up for grabs and shifting, and the artists are calling the shots, and that's an exciting moment.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joe, it's been a pleasure having you with us this year as a part of our Soundcheck bullpen, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
A little bit from Miguel, the song Adorn. This is Soundcheck. Up next, music writer Soumya Krishnamurthy gives us her responses to Soundcheck's 2012 music survey. Like Joe Levy, she has a lot to say about Frank Ocean, but we'll find out what else made her list next. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Our look back at 2012 in music continues now. Soumya Krishnamurthy joins us, a member of the Soundcheck bullpen. She writes about hip-hop for outlets like New York Magazine and MTV. And Soumya, welcome back.
How are you?
Good. What's the big story this year for you?
Oh, wow. There were so many stories this year, but Kendrick Lamar was a huge story in hip-hop. He was someone who had really built his name on the mixtape circuit. His mixtape Section 80 was very much critically acclaimed. And, you know, fan by fan, he converted people, and he put out his debut album, Good Kid, Mad City, this year. Critical success, commercial success, just an overall success. So it was a good year for the kid from Compton.
And that debut album came out on a major label, too. So.
Yes, Interscope. He's Dr. Dre's protege.
Yeah. The album sort of propelled by a single that was out on the internet prior to the release of the record, which a lot of people really liked.
Yes, yeah, Swimming Pools Drank. I think we spoke about it earlier this summer when it first came out. What a great song, you know, very murky and hazy and, you know, lyrically, it sounds like a party song upon first listen. But when you actually kind of decode it, it goes into sort of the ills of addiction, and the beat by producer T-Minus out of Toronto, just amazing. So I think put them together and was probably one of the best songs to me of the year.
So we asked you for your favorite song of the year. And this is it?
It just so happened to be it.
Swimming Pools Drank from Kendrick Lamar. Drank.
Wake up. Drank. Faded. Drank. Faded. Drank.
Okay. Now open your mind up and listen to me, Kendrick. I'm in your conscience. If you do not hear me, then you will be history, Kendrick. I know that you're nauseous right now, and I'm hoping to lead you to victory, Kendrick.
If I take another one down, I'ma drown in some poison, abuse on my limit. I think that I'm feeling the vibe. I see the love in her eyes. I see the feeling of freedom is granted as soon as the damage of vodka arrived. This how you capitalize. This is parental advice. And apparently, I'm over-influenced by what you are doing. I thought I was doing the most that someone said to me.
Nigga, why you babysitting? Only two or three shots. I'ma show you how to turn it up a notch. First you get a swimming pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. Pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. I wave a few bottles, then I watch them all fly. All the girls wanna play, they watch. I got a swimming pool full of liquor, and they dive in it. Pool full of liquor, I'ma dive in it.
Pool. Swimming Pools Drank by Kendrick Lamar. Soumya Krishnamurthy's favorite song of the year. You can see all of her answers to our end-of-the-year survey on our website, soundcheck.org. Did you struggle with any of the answers?
No, not really. It was a pretty easy year. It was definitely easier than the SATs. So, yeah, it was pretty easy.
One of our questions, favorite newcomer. There were plenty of contenders. Who'd you go with?
I went with someone who I would say is a commercial newcomer, The Weeknd, also known as Abel Tesfaye, a singer out of Canada. For fans like myself of Drake, they've heard his name for a while. He actually appeared on Drake's blog ages ago. And, you know, over time, he had several mixtapes, three mixtapes that came out in 1 year. And this year, he signed with a major label. So it was a huge story. He signed with Universal, and he basically put all of his mixtapes together and called it the trilogy, re-released it, and it sold 86,000 copies. So something that a lot of us had known about was free on the internet, commercially became a huge success this year.
So wait, sold 86,000 copies even though you could get it for free?
Yes, 99.99% of it was available online. but this was the remastered version. So, you know, some people are purists or maybe just didn't have time or space on their computer to download the free mixtapes. So it was huge. I mean, I think he really much followed in Drake's footsteps, where even Drake, he had So Far Gone, which was released for free. Mm-hmm. When Universal re-released it commercially, people bought it. And I think that's just kind of a testament to the growing fan base a lot of these guys have.
And The Weeknd is spelled week and then ND.
Yes.
You don't have the third E in there. Is he kind of a signifier of a renaissance of R&B singing?
A lot of people say that. I mean, they would put him and someone like Frank Ocean, another big story this year, in this new wave of R&B. You know, everyone says R&B is dead and we don't have any crooners. Well, these guys croon. They're very emo. And I think, you know, someone like The Weeknd, he has a very signature sound. I mean, we'll hear it in a second, but it's this coo mixed with a wail. And, you know, all of his songs tend to sort of, you know, have subject matter like addiction and sex and kind of excess. So it's sort of that hip hop sensibility,
right,
mixed with this new wave of R&B, so to speak.
I mean, I first heard The Weeknd because he did a song called House of Balloons, I think, which was...
That was the mixtape, yeah.
Based on an old song from Susie and the Banshees.
Yes.
The song that you've picked for us is also based on an earlier song, right?
Yeah, well, you know, House of Balloons was great because it had so many interesting samples from different genres. What I chose is his take of Dirty Diana, which he renamed DD. And the reason I picked it was it's such an ambitious thing to do, to take on Michael Jackson. I mean, you're almost setting yourself up for failure. And I think, you know, in execution, he actually does a really good job.
Well, let's hear it. DD is from the trilogy record by the artist known as The Weeknd.
You never make me stay, so take your head off of me. I know your every move, so won't you please let me be? I've been here times before, but I was too blind to see that you seduce every man. This time you won't seduce me. She's saying that's okay. Hey, baby, do what you please. I am the stuff that you own. I am the thing that you need.
That's The Weeknd and his version of Michael Jackson's Dirty Diana, which he calls DD. It's on the album Trilogy. Soumya Krishnamurthy's favorite newcomer of the year. We're going through the answers to her survey, the 2012 music survey that we've sent out to all of our critics and to you listeners as well. You can check it out on our website at soundcheck.org. And Soumya, you answered two questions with one person. We asked, you know, your favorite album of the year and also the biggest musical surprise of the year. And your answer to both of those questions was?
Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean, who put out an amazing album, Channel Orange, on a major label, Def Jam, and it did amazing. And as an album, just sonically, you know, interesting, very eclectic, and, you know, to your earlier point, kind of this new wave of R&B.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this was Soumya's album of the year from Frank Ocean, and six Grammy nominations mean that you're in pretty good company. A lot of other people like this record called Channel Orange.
A tornado flew around my room before you came. Excuse the mess it made. It usually doesn't rain in Southern California, much like Arizona. My eyes don't shed tears, but boy, they pour when I'm thinking about you. Oh, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. You, no, no, no. I've been thinking about you. Do you think about me still? Do you, do you? Do you not think so far ahead? 'Cause I've been thinking about forever.
Thinking About You, that is Frank Ocean from his album Channel Orange. Big success for him, and Soumya Krishnamurthy's album of the year. Frank Ocean, also biggest musical surprise of the year, coming out as he did on the eve of the album's debut. And we're going through Soumya's answers to our 2012 music survey on Soundcheck. We asked for your biggest musical disappointment.
There were so many.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, not really.
I thought this was one of the more difficult questions on the survey.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there were so many possible misses. For me, I picked Rick Ross's God Forgives, I Don't, which was a very, very overhyped album, I guess is the best way to put it. And especially within the hip-hop community, over the year, Ross basically, you know, became a darling of the community, where it became a faux pas to say anything against him. So everything he put out was great. He actually had a very self-serving, to say the least, press conference in New York over the summer, where there was literally a cavalcade of executives and superstars talking about him, basically eulogizing him while he was sitting there. And, you know, I think it pretty much showed sometimes groupthink doesn't work. You know, Rick Ross has made some big albums. He's had, you know, a lot of mixtape success. To me, this was just a miss. It was too long, it was very monotonous, and there was nothing new. So I think it just sort of showed that groupthink and hype does not always mean a good record.
Rick Ross's God Forgives, I Don't. Soumya doesn't forgive either. This is called Hold Me Back.
He had it, can't hold me back. I look in my fridge, my looking scarce. I got a few kids, we need some stuff on the shelf. I get a knock at the door, they say my rent overdue. And why my not tell up and don't know what else to do. The only thing on my mind, I'm trying to keep on the lights. I call up my slime, I need a dip in the night. Everything went well, I'm eating steak, no more soup. Then I bought the Capri, I went and got me a coupe.
Hold Me Back from Rick Ross's album God Forgives, I Don't. Soumya Krishnamurthy is a member of our Soundcheck bullpen, writes about hip-hop for outlets like New York Magazine and MTV, and filled out our 2012 music survey. We're going through her answers. Most memorable concert of the year, Soumya?
Yeah, I did two for this one. One was a bit self-serving.
Can I say, I also came up with two answers
for good.
This one.
Oh, good.
So I
will
allow
enough.
Two answers.
Fair enough. So when the professor has two answers, you're allowed to
as
well.
That's right.
So one is I put Drake's OVO Fest, which is his annual festival in Toronto. So I actually went up to Toronto to review the show. And, you know, it was Drake. It was The Weeknd. And to really see hometown artists in their home performing, I think it was just a very different experience. I mean, I'm a huge Drake fan. I've seen him since his first show at SOBs, where he was hopping up and down and the sound was horrible and you could barely hear anything, to see him basically sell out these huge arenas across the country. When you see someone within their element, I think it's a different experience. I think when it comes to Canadian hip hop specifically, Drake has been such a catalyst. I mean, there were obviously artists before him, artists, you know, with him, but he really, you know, put Canada on the hip hop map. And to see a city that reveled in just him, you know, he basically runs that city. So that was an interesting experience. The second I pick was Jay-Z at Barclays Center. And Jay-Z did an 8-show stint at the new Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And for New Yorkers, it was, you know, it was a huge thing. You know, not only was it great to see Jay-Z, he's always a good performer. He consistently puts on a solid show, but I think just symbolically. And, you know, I was at one of the shows and he mentioned just years ago, he used to live down the street. So, you know, he went from peddling crack down the street to headlining 8 shows at a brand new arena. And I think it just sort of symbolized not just the hip-hop dream, but the American dream.
And an arena built for an NBA team that he owns a little portion of.
Yeah, so, tiny bit. The percentages are a bit debatable, but he does have some ownership.
All right, so most memorable concert, you got Drake in Toronto, Jay-Z in Brooklyn. One of our other questions, trend of the year, the musical trend of the year. What was that for you?
For me in hip-hop, it was this notion of group songs, where artists, whether they be seasoned like a Rick Ross to brand newcomers like a French Montana, every song featured a cavalcade of other artists, where it was no longer just one artist featuring, you know, one or two other people. There were oftentimes four or five people on the song. You know, it was the year of collectives, from Maybach Music Group to Kanye West Good Music, Lil Wayne's YMCMB. And you saw a lot of cross-pollination as well, where one artist would be on, you know, someone like a 2 Chainz, who doesn't have one affiliation, was on everyone's song. So there was a lot of love going on in hip-hop this year. It was very much a fraternity, so to speak.
Was that a good thing?
I think, you know, it's debatable. I think it's good in the sense that artists have camaraderie, and especially in a genre that, you know, to outsiders often look at as there's a lot of dissension and, you know, people don't get along. I think it's great when artists are supporting each other, and that's really the only way that the movement continues. I think, you know, on the converse is that sometimes the music sounds the same. Hmm. When it's the same artists basically hopping from song to song, you know, from a sonic perspective, you're going to get a lot of monotony. So it's really about balancing the two, to have a group song, but again, every song not being the same song.
You mentioned 2 Chainz, and he does in fact appear on Kanye West's, you know, Good Music, Cruel Summer, the big compilation.
Sure.
And it, when we hear The One, it says Kanye West, but you hear 2 Chainz, you hear Big Sean, you hear Marsha Ambrosius, all in this clip from the Good Music Cruel Summer collection.
I did it.
The storm is on the horizon. I'm standing here alone. Got a pistol on my hip, and it's gonna be some, gonna be. If you want it, then bring it on. See, I'm a mother, so.
Like a sofa bed, break bread with my new, call it proper share.
Yeah,
this some good ish, but it get better. And yeah, my bit cold, it been swell.
Tell
like my verse suede and the beat level. Just trying to stay above sea level. When my nigga went to jail, I said free Gucci.
Free Gucci.
I done bought so much this shit, I should get free Gucci.
True.
Bought my baby mama anaconda bags. I shouldn't have bought it, all I should have did was cut the grass.
A little bit of Kanye West's The One, a group effort, as Soumya Krishnamurthy was telling us. You can see all of her answers to the 2012 Music Survey on our website, soundcheck.org. We've left the worst for last.
Yes.
Worst song of the year.
You know, this one was a very fun song. It was an international smash hit, but I had to say Gangnam Style. I mean, Psy, God bless him. You know, he will be able to, you know, send his kids to college off this song. But, you know, I think the moment happened when my dad, who lives in Kalamazoo, Michigan, said, yeah, I really like that song. And, you know, that was when the
death
proverbial...
Death knell for you.
Yeah, that was sort of when, you know, the shark had been jumped, so to speak. When your dad is telling you that, yeah, I really kind of like this song, it's over.
Oh, Soumya Krishnamurthy, still in a grinchy mood as the end of the year approaches. Soumya, thanks for filling out our survey and sharing your answers with us. This is Soundcheck. 점잖아 보이지만 놀 땐 노는 선어해 내가 되면 완전 미쳐버리는 선어해. Up next, Ann Litt of KCRW in Los Angeles, the great public radio music station out west, has been giving us the West Coast perspective all this fall on the show. Now she'll step up with her Best of the Year list next on Soundcheck.
Oppa Gangnam Style.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Our look back at 2012 in music continues now with Soundcheck contributor and KCRW host Ann Litt. She's got her picks of the year, and she's on the line from KCRW in Los Angeles to share them with us. Happy holidays, Ann.
Happy holidays. Great to talk to you.
So we asked you, as we did all our other contributors and listeners, to fill out our end-of-the-year music survey, 8 questions, and very efficiently, you're going to allow us to handle 2 questions at once.
My pleasure.
Favorite album and most memorable concert of the year, both the same young man.
Absolutely. Hands down, Gary Clark Jr.
Which did you see or hear first, the album or the concert?
I heard the album first. I've been hearing bits and pieces of it for a long time. I saw him live at South by Southwest, but then we hosted at KCRW an intimate live show with Gary Clark Jr. just a couple of months ago, and I swear to you, I felt like I was witnessing history. Up close, you know, there were 200 people in the room. It was amazing. That guy's going to be playing stadiums.
I think he's already. I mean, he was with the Rolling Stones recently.
Exactly.
And pulling from a lot of the same roots, right? The old American blues and stuff?
American blues and things as diverse and to my way of thinking as hip-hop and you know, artists like John Legend. There's a whole big R&B thing he's got going, as well as drawing from great guitarists like Jimi Hendrix. To watch that guy up close, I was able to stand about 5 feet from him. To watch his hands when he plays the guitar and his face, it was transformative.
The album's called Black and Blue. Here's a track from Gary Clark Jr.
Every day, nothing seems to change. Everywhere I go, I keep seeing the same old thing. And I can't take it no more. Town, but I ain't got nowhere else to go. No. Wake up in the morning tomorrow, more bad news tonight. Sometimes I feel like I was.
That is Gary Clark Jr., the guitarist and singer with When My Train Pulls In off his album Black and Blue. Ann Litt's favorite album of the year, he also provided her most memorable concert of the year. 2 of the questions on our end-of-year music survey, which had a lot, Ann, of the questions that I'm sure you expected. Favorite song, favorite album, favorite concert. We also asked for your biggest musical surprise. Did this give you any food for thought? I mean, you have any?
It did. At the end of the day, my biggest musical surprise was the album from Deadmau5.
Mm-hmm.
Deadmau5 is a serious hardcore electronic artist, and it was something I thought I wouldn't really be into. Seeing him perform live and then hearing the tracks on his song, particularly one song he does with Imogene Heap, who you probably remember from Frou Frou,
right.
English
singer, songwriter. She does a lot of looping and stuff with her voice.
Exactly. But it gave me a whole new perspective on the whole EDM world, and Deadmau5 is one of those people leading the charge.
So the album called album title goes here, which
exactly.
is a really neat album title. The song with Imogene Heap is called Telemiscommunications.
Hey babe, how's your day been? No, you first. What? The delay's quite bad. Yeah, sorry. Where are you? I can't really hear you. A taxi distracted. Anyway, you were saying, wait. Now they're waving me over. Can I call you back? Yeah, everything's fine. Why am I? I don't know why. I probably just need sleep. It's been a busy week. Sorry, I've got to go. Sorry, okay. Bye. This is just so unlikely.
That's called Telemiscommunications, a collaboration between Deadmau5 and the English singer Imogene Heap from Deadmau5's record album title goes here. A big surprise to Ann Litt at KCRW and her big musical surprise of 2012. And you can find all of her answers to our end-of-year music survey on our website. And while you're checking out her answers and our answers, leave us yours as well at soundcheck.org. And we've been asking everybody about what, you know, kind of musical trends they've noticed. And, you know, one of the usual questions, what's your favorite song of the year? And again, remarkably efficient, you have the same answer for both of those as well. What did you like about Kate Lebon?
Well, I think there's a 1960s lo-fi psychedelic sound about what she's doing that reminds me of the Velvet Underground and Nico and classic albums that really shaped me when I was coming along. And here is this Welsh songwriter, and it's not derivative at all. I don't mean that in a derivative kind of way.
Right.
I think she grasps the best of that world, makes it fully her own, and just writes some just kick-ass songs.
So you think this kind of 60s sound, this lo-fi, psychedelic, surfy thing is more than just Kate Lebon? It's a trend.
I think it's a trend. There are some bands out of Los Angeles. I think that's sort of a natural place for it, a la Nick Waterhouse, who are doing this, as well as even bands like Tame Impala or Melody's Echo Chamber, who have a little bit of this going on as well. And I love it, and I hear it more and more, and maybe it's just a touchstone for me, but that's been a trend I've been hearing this year.
Well, you mentioned the A La La's in one of your previous appearances on Soundcheck. Let's check out Kate Lebon and her song Fold the Cloth. That is Kate Lebon and Fold the Cloth. Ann Litt's favorite song of 2012 and also part of her musical trend of the year that she's identified, this 1960s psychedelic lo-fi sound. And if you go to our website and search for Kate with a C, C-A-T-E, you'll find her session playing here in our Soundcheck studio. So, Ann, we're talking about a lot of your favorite things, most memorable things, biggest surprise. What about an album that just didn't do it for you for whatever reason?
Oddly, that was a tough one because, gosh, where do you start? But no, I have to say, I think my biggest musical disappointment of the year was the Sleigh Bells record. I have been such a fan of theirs. I love the last album. I saw them at Coachella, and they knocked my socks off. They were practically my favorite thing I saw at Coachella last year. And the new album, Reign of Terror, it was just scary to me. It was a reign of terror.
Were you a victim of your own expectations, or is this just a misstep on their part?
I would say I think it was a misstep on their part, and I'm excited to hear what they're going to do next. Mm-hmm. I do think they're on to something. Their sound is so unique and so fresh, and that's what captivated me about the record before, and I just felt like Reign of Terror was just a big mess.
Well, here's a little mess from the big mess. This is called Comeback Kid from Sleigh Bells. Little bit of the Sleigh Bells record, Reign of Terror, a song called Comeback Kid, which is on Ann Litt's end-of-the-year survey for the wrong reasons, perhaps. Again, you can see all of her answers on our website and fill out the survey yourself at soundcheck.org. And it was a good year for newcomers. And when we asked for your favorite new band or new artist, It looks from your answer that like you were wrestling with various possibilities. Who'd you settle on?
I was. I finally decided on Leanne LaHavis, who's a young singer out of the UK. She's got soul just in spades, and her album blew me away.
She also appeared here in our Soundcheck studio. You can check out her session in our audio archives. We'll hear her song, Forget, an artist to remember from 2012. We've been speaking with Ann Litt of KCRW in Los Angeles. Ann, once again, happy holidays, and thanks for sharing.
Thank you. Have a wonderful holiday.
You too. This is Soundcheck. Little bit of Leanne LaHavis from Ann Litt's list of the best of the year. You can fill out the Soundcheck survey on our website, soundcheck.org. We've all done it, and a number of you have done it already. In fact, Soundcheck executive producer Joel Meyer here. We're hearing from people all over the country, Joel.
That's right. This is one of the great things about the Soundcheck Music Survey is not only hearing from people all over the country, but hearing about artists that maybe aren't quite on our radar. A listener named Karma Buena from Alabama wrote in with this pick for Best New Artist of the Year, the band Icky Blossoms, John.
From
Omaha, Nebraska. They're part of that Saddle Creek Records clique that's out there. They have a new self-titled debut that's produced by Dave Sitek of TV on the Radio. And this song is called Perfect Vision.
A little bit of music from Icky Blossoms. Thanks to Karma Buena from Alabama for pointing that out to us. And that's going to do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow, more of our coverage of the year in music. Two of our favorite music critics join us to weigh in with their answers to our 2012 music survey. Ann Majette of The Washington Post and John Perellis of The New York Times. Plus more end-of-the-year picks from the Soundcheck staff and from our listeners. Tomorrow at 9. Remember, take the survey yourself and see what other listeners have picked. It's up online at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck. Keep closing my eyes.